you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
What about Belichick? Like, what? Give me an impression of Bill.
I just saw him. Recently, I went and, you know, I visited the team. And he was like, look, like, if I have to turn on the f***ing TV and see you doing me every f***ing day, like, like, what are we f***ing doing here? Like, that's like what he, that's what he would say to me. And I'm over here, I'm sitting on eggshell. I'm still scared of the guy. I don't even play with him. I don't even, he's still like, you know, he's just got, he's like the emperor or something, you know what I mean? So I walk in and I'm all, you know, hey coach, you know, it's all out of love. He goes, look, just shut the f*** up. You know
what I mean? We had to fight to get a meal, yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pill. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wicked wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Hey. The I Am Athlete Parlay. We've been hot, 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 hot.
These are guaranteed wins.
I'm going to take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
It's all about matchup, understanding who's playing against who. It's a game of chess.
Pack, make the bet, bro. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Submission, knockout, judge's decision, doesn't matter. Israel, Adesanya, yes, bro, he's, yes, yes. Parlays, double your bets, make them bigger so your payout's bigger, absolutely. Don't be like Adam Pac-Man Jones. Make sure you download the app DraftKings Sportsbook, use promo code ATHLETE. And remember, new customers, if you bet $5, you get 100 in free bets instantly, no matter the outcome. Judges' decisions, knockout, submission, doesn't matter. You win. And if the sports book isn't available in your state, don't worry. All you got to do is go to DraftKings Daily Fantasy. There's so many contests this weekend for you to participate, and it's going to be a big payout, multiple big payouts. DraftKings.com is the sports book. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay. I Am Athlete all day. Promo code ATHLETE. Let's get it. Lowest moment of your life.
That's suicidal. I tried to take myself out in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm. And I didn't no longer want to be here, man.
You have to be strong as to bypass all of the thoughts that it takes to keep yourself here.
You know, I know my mama gonna see this and I love her.
Today's sponsor, BetterHelp, is here to help you. In 2011, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. I spent 3 months at McLean Hospital. A lot of you guys know my story and some of you guys don't. BetterHelp's licensed therapists are trained to listen and help you. Talk to your therapist in a private online setting at your convenience. There's a wide range of expertise across BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network that are there to assess what you need and also give you the help that you may need that's not available to you in your area. You just fill out the questionnaire that will help assist your specific needs and you'll be matched with a therapist within 48 hours. Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages, and anything that you share is completely confidential. You can request a new therapist at no additional charge at any time. Join the 2 million plus people that have taken charge of their mental health with the experienced BetterHelp therapist. For you guys out there who may need more help or more resources, get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. So BetterHelp.com/IAA. That is linked below in the description. Enjoy the show and take control of your mental health.
Hey, let's talk numbers right here.
Numbers.
Three-time Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP, Patriots 2010 All-Decade Team, Super Bowl record for punt returns, first half reception in a single game, never selected to the Pro Bowl. Damn.
That's crazy.
Second all-time in postseason in receiving yards with 1,142 yards over 19 games. Second all-time in postseason in receptions, 118 over 19 games.
How does that feel?
What do you think?
Man, no way. Question, no Pro Bowl?
The question is.
Pro Bowl? Hall of Fame.
That's the real question. That's the question. Hall of Fame. Are you a Hall of Famer?
Number-wise, no.
Wow.
No, after hearing that, okay, I don't know.
Depends. Tell your story.
Everyone talks about the regular season. And I mean, I get it. It's a regular, everyone talks about regular season. I didn't have regular season numbers. You know what I mean?
But what's the criteria? We talk about this all the time. What's Swaggy outside looking in? On the NFL, I don't know the criteria for NBA, but when you think about Hall of Famers in the NFL, what's the criteria?
We got a lot of players that really don't take the regular season like serious. And once the playoffs start, they amp it up and they like Jimmy Butler. Guy in a regular season averaged like probably 18, 19, just trying to get his team in the right position. But once the postseason come, averaging 30, 40, and he turned into a totally different person. And I feel like that right there is to solidify you as being a Hall of Famer to me.
Yeah, I mean, how many Super Bowls you say?
Three of them.
Three. Because there's an argument, and I appreciate your humility, and then that's what we think the criteria is. I don't know if we know what the criteria is around Hall of Fame, but there's an argument that you're the best wide receiver, the numbers says so, that you're the best wide receiver in postseason play.
And that says something.
Right? And we talk about clutch. When the team need it, there's an argument that you're one of the most clutch wide receivers in the history of NFL. And the numbers back that up. To me, it's an argument, and it's a real one. And it's a raging argument right now on ESPN and FS1. People, every time we talk about the Patriots, every time we talk about Julian Edelman, it's like, what's your place in history?
You know I'm a straight shooter. First thing we want to know, is it true that you're really thinking about it, or you're not thinking about coming back to play football with Tom and your boy?
We want the Julian Edelman from the Bay. Don't give us that, man.
Honestly, you know, everyone here knows what it takes to play at a high level.
Here we go. See what I'm saying?
Especially in football.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how it is in basketball because I never played basketball. I can only speak for people that I know. Now, the amount of work I have to put into my body to train, to make me confident, like, that's so much. For the output that I get now out of my body because of the injuries, my knees, this, that, I'm not getting the same output. So now that I've taken a year off and, like, I'm not loading my body, compounding loads every single day, my body feels pretty straight. Mm. You know, and, you know, I've gone and dabbled out and, you know, you go run routes. But then you see when you run routes the next day, like, all right, I'm not too bad, but I'm already like 10,000 reps behind, I feel, in my mind. So then, like, to answer your question, probably not. But I will probably start training a little more and more just to kind of put some data in my brain to see if I can do it. You can't just go. I'm not going to put myself out there to look silly, get strapped up. I'm not going to go out there where I can get open on one play. I mean, I want to go out, and if I want a ball, I'm going to have to go out and consistently do it time and time again. And I remember when I saw old corners, You know what I'm saying? When they used to strap you up because they were the older guy, you were the young guy, they had the veteran moves, and they were like athletically peaking, and then you saw them tail off. I mean, it was blood in the water. I was going after them. I was going for their throat because I remember plays, and I've gone after a lot of dudes. Name so one. I know a lot of dudes are going to be coming after me.
Can you name one or two dudes?
Pat.
We used to have battles.
Huh?
We had some battles.
We had some good battles.
Killed him.
I mean, he used to run by, like, we...
Killed him. Pat would try
to get in my head.
And we did punt return against each other, too. So I would be talking shit before the game. Like, I bet you I had more yards than back there.
But who had more yards? Because I did get you that game. But I mean, Pat was, you were in the back end of your career. That's not fair. The fact that you could even compete at that, because I was starting to get into mine.
I was 34 at that time. I was 34.
That's fucking old.
That's old. Yeah.
That's old for a corner.
He was still balling.
I was balling.
You know what I mean? You were balling, but like, I'm not going to lie, you weren't 27-year-old
Pat. No, you're right.
What is old for a football player? Huh? Like, what is old?
32, 33.
32.
And it depends on the position, right?
Yeah.
Positions, everything.
At DB wide receiver, we can push it to 32, 33. Hell, we can push it to 36.
But
that's when, once you pass 30 at most positions, you owe, you done, you on a 1-year contract. I don't care what you signing.
Once you hit 30?
Yeah.
Running back, you ain't get no new contract.
See, I never ran inside. I always played outside. You get what I'm saying? So,
come chase me at
30, 35, 36, that's when I was like, you know what I mean? About time, because I ain't going inside.
Right.
It was not for me.
I feel like, Pac, I say this all the time. I know we talking about you coming back, and I love that you were honest and you gave us the Julian Edelman from the Bay. You know what I'm saying? Because that's real, bro. Like, you know, if there's meat left on the bones, go do that. You know, you got Tom Brady sitting there. You got Gronk, your boys. It'd be a beautiful thing for you.
Who said I would go to the Buccaneers? Maybe there's a couple other teams.
Well, name them. Because
I'm just saying. Like,
okay, so say if it's not the Buccaneers,
who would you like
to play? Like,
I mean, honestly, if I were to ever come back, I would want to come back as a Pat, probably. Be part of that.
Okay.
Wow.
What's that relationship?
Pat. I heard you. I'm just like, wow, because everybody, Julian Edelman, if he comes back, it's going to be Tampa.
Is it the relationship with you and Billa?
It's a little bit of everything. I mean, I got my opportunity there. I've got a life there. You know, it's like, that's my home now. I mean, my whole adult life, I've been in Boston. I know Boston better than I know San Francisco. I know the Cape better than I know Lake Tahoe. And that's where I grew up.
But y'all ain't gonna win nothing. Like, you just go
You never know, though. You never know, man. Last year is a prime example. You know, you got the Cincinnati Bengals, which were the trash of the National Football League 2 years before. They go out and they make it to a Super Bowl in 2 years. Now, the parody of this league is going back and forth all the time. But the one guy you can always bet on is Bill Belichick. He's going to have a fundamentally sound football team, and you never know. If you get into the tournament with a fundamentally sound football team that doesn't make mistakes, that goes against an explosive team that has crazy athletes everywhere, that fucks up and makes turnovers, jumps off sides, has illegal formations, all these little things, those teams lose. I've been a part of it. So you never know.
You've been a part of it to me with like a special quarterback. I don't know.
Exactly.
But I'm glad you brought that up because you said Bill Belichick. The one thing that don't change is Bill Belichick. No, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
So now you got Bill Belichick and Mac Jones. We can get into a Tom Brady conversation later, but you got Bill Belichick and Mac Jones.
And that's going to get smacked.
Good enough to win?
If he strengthens up and he uses last year for the starting point, and he doesn't smell his own roses, and he goes out and he gets better this year, because we ultimately see our biggest leaps from that year one to year two for that quarterback. You know, I think he could be a good quarterback. You know, he's not there quite yet, but I mean, you got to look at the Patriots back in 2001 to 2004, those first three Super Bowls. I mean, they weren't tossing the ball out the stadium. It was a defensive-built team. That's the thing that I'm worried about with the Patriots, is their defense going to be there to allow Mac to have this slow progression into becoming what he becomes?
What can you do for Mac Jones? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say in a couple weeks, you know, you feel good, you're recovering great. You know what I mean? You go back. What value can you add to Mac Jones in the later parts of your career? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you can add knowledge. And, you know, I was around the GOAT for 12 years or 11 years. And I prepared with the guy that lives, eats, drinks, breathes football, you know, and family. You know, and that's Tom Brady. So just little things. And you want people to develop into their own. You don't want to just say, hey, this is how it's done. You want people to blossom into what they become. But there's also, like, there's a lot of shit that you can avoid. You know, like dumb stuff that young, like getting massages every fucking day. Cold, you know, for these young guys. Yeah. They don't understand your body's your investment. They don't understand, you know, like, they don't understand, you know, you're not going to get better as a quarterback in the weight room. Yeah, you can get stronger, whatever. You can get better throwing the ball. Right. You know, you need to go out and do these throws. You need to be able to hit every throw 1,000 times. You need to go practice your 2-minute drills. You need to think when you're tired. You need to be able to, you know, communicate plays when you're tired, when guys don't know. You need to be able to communicate to the offensive line, that guy out there, this guy out there. Hey, all right, we're changing here. Now we're going to my receiver. He doesn't know the play. I got to be able to signal him. I got to look at the clock. Like, I need to see all, you know, all those things. That's what a quarterback does. And, you know,
I could tell why they were smacking y'all in the NFL.
Yeah, and speaking of all that, it shows how high he is in the game.
Let's get here. Let me put it out there, though. I have not been, you know, the Pats haven't offered me anything. I'm not coming back like that. And,
you're just saying that would be the team.
And I would love to play with Brady, too, though. You know what I mean?
All right.
Because they don't got enough hands. They got too many hands to feed out there.
But it makes sense. I think the conversation, right, like you're in this transition phase right now. And as athletes, you know, year out, a lot of us, we think about that. You know, you probably thought of you playing in the big three. I thought about making a comeback when I was cut. You understand? So, like, this is the real. Like, we getting a Julian Edelman from the Bay. You know what I'm saying? Like, so but I appreciate you being honest.
But the real is, like, I'm done. Like, I feel like...
You go back and forth
because I left everything on the field. I really ain't got nothing else to play for.
That's bullshit. Let me tell you why it's bullshit. Look, because that's why I said give us a Julian Edelman from the Bay, because, like, this is real. The reality is you're going to be a star off the field. You can do whatever the hell you want to do in media. You're gonna build a freaking media empire. And then if you want to get into acting, look at you. You beautiful. Like, you're top five handsome man in the world. Like, you look at this guy.
He's a pretty good guy himself.
Bro, I'm just saying. Look,
pause, though.
I ain't gonna say no pause. Why I gotta do that? I can't tap into my feelings and my emotions, how I feel.
So beautiful.
He's not handsome. Is he handsome, yes or no?
Hell no, he ain't handsome to me.
But so what I'm saying is, you can do that. But at the same time, you can get up and feel how you see how your body feel, and if it feel right, if you want to make that decision, the opportunity presents itself, go do that. That's gonna be waiting for you. You know what I'm saying? You young. You can play. If you feel good and you want to do it, go do it.
He's definitely thinking about it.
I feel like he can coach too, though.
Nah, too many hours, bro. Too many fuck. You think players have hours? These coaches, I've seen cots in offices.
Yeah.
These dudes are sleeping in there. I cannot be a coach.
It's different than basketball.
Yeah.
I feel like that's y'all coaches.
There's too much preparation in football. There's too much on every single game. These guys are literally, and they can't sleep.
I feel like that's Belichick, though. Like, he probably doesn't have a life.
And that's another thing.
No, that's every coach. All
the
coaches.
Even on these other teams, these dudes work their asses off.
You don't get no rest coaching.
The younger coaches get more relaxed. Like, you know, the Rams coach, he chills.
24 hours a day.
That's why they winning. You know, Rams winning because they chill.
They
chill. Yeah,
right. He cool.
McVay's in that office all day long.
All day long. In the Patriot history, rank the receivers, including yourself. Give me the top 7.
Stanley, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You got Randy. He was there for a cup of coffee. Yeah. He was there for some years, and he broke the record there. I was only with him for a cup of coffee. I rephrase that.
Randy was there 3 years?
He was there a little longer.
Like four or five. He was there in 07, 08, 09, 10. We traded him.
I thought he was there for 1 year.
So three and a half years.
That was the year they were undefeated, right? Lost to the championship.
First year he had 20 touchdowns, the record.
Yeah.
Second year at Castle because Tom got hurt. Third year I came in. You got Troy Brown, Wes Welker. Wes Welker, dude, that dude was a monster. Like, he developed a lot of this offense, and it's evolved through, you know, Charlie Weiss to Josh McDaniels to Billy O'Brien back to Josh McDaniels, and you see the evolution of the slot, you know, with Troy Brown, and then you had Kevin Falk that would come out, and they'd have like a package where you'd have the running back, so there was kind of like two slots. Then it developed into like the tight ends with, you know, Gronk, Hernandez, and then also, you know, Wes was in there, so like, you started seeing them get more complex with the slot stuff with Wes, you know, Troy to Wes, then to me and Danny, and you know, it's everyone's got their place.
I see why you talked about coaching, right? When you sit down with Cass, we had AD on. Remember we had that moment with AD and he started going into watching film, boom, boom, boom. And the fans, they laughing at us because me, Pac, and Shady, we were sitting here like looking at him and it was almost as if we were in awe. So hearing you talk like that, you know, it highlights that you're one of those guys. And I guess my question, what made y'all great? What's this Patriot way? And I'm sorry, I know every time we sit down with a Patriot, and it doesn't matter who it is, it's everybody wanna know, you know, well, what's the Patriot way? What is Bill Belichick like? What is Tom Brady? But what's the Patriot way? Because like, to me, it's excellence. Can you describe that? Can you break that down?
I think it roots from, you know, really just being accountable. You know, when I got there, you had Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady, Kevin Falk, Troy Brown was always around. You had these guys that held you accountable. If you weren't going up to their standard, if your leader, like the leaders are always working their asses off. They're always setting examples. Then you got young bucks that if they come in and they're not putting on that same effort, that same standard, they're gonna be humiliated and they probably won't be there because they have that much say. There's like a locker room full of guys that, you know how to keep a good locker room and build that team. So I would say just the accountability from top to bottom. When you see your coach in there on a Tuesday in March, on a treadmill at 10 o'clock at night, watching film and fucking going over scouting reports for his next year's team, you know.
What coach is that?
That's Belichick, you know. And then, or when you go in and you train with, you know, a quarterback that already had 3 Super Bowls at the time, who's hungrier than anyone I've ever been around, who, you know, we're over at his house doing, you know, things for, you know, body work. You're doing running routes. We're doing 2-minute drills. He's over here preparing. And it's February. Like, there's no time off. Like, when you see that from your highest guys,
That's bullshit.
What do you mean?
I call bullshit. You're not doing 2-minute drill in February.
I've already told you this. Yes, we have. He would get me up. When I was young, Tom would get me up to, like, 65, 70 routes. We would do sets of 10 down the field. He'd be going, all right, zero out slot thing, ride 134, F-bow ice, you're the F, go. Wide 80, and then I'd go out, catch it, go. I'd throw, like, run a 20-yard bow, and then he'd come out, all right, now we got spread right, 66, ghost, 10. So then he's like, all right, you're the Y, it's 4 wide. So then I'd have to change my mindset, put myself in a different position. So he was teaching me, and he was also learning my body mechanics, and he was letting me do it while I was tired. So when I prepared for games, it became easier. When I got into camps, it was easy. And it was good for him because he was able to think. So he was using me, and I was using him. You know what I mean? But by the end of these things, I would be so dead and tired. It would be crazy. I'd be huffing and puffing, and we'd be at the end of a drive, and I'd have, like, they call it invert, overzing invert. He's like, all right, overzing. He'd give me the signal, invert, which is like a high 7, and he'd go, all right, holding. I'd be dead. I thought the drive was over. He'd be like, holding. Get in. We got mulch. You're the F. And so then I'd have to go there. And I like he was just always testing me, you know. So, like, that actually happens in the offseason. He did that with a lot of guys. He did that with Welker. He did that with, you know, Moss. He did that. I'm sure he's doing that with his guys now. You know, I always made myself available. Right. I lived right next to him just in case he ever needed anyone because I was trying to give him opportunities.
Is that why he respects you so much? You think, like, you guys, when I think about Tom Brady and his circle, I think about, like, you're one of the first ones to come to mind. You know, you got Gronk there, but as far as, like, brothers, I see you and Tom. You think being in the trenches with him and grinding like that is why he loves you and respects you so much?
I think there's a lot of things.
Taking one of the Super Bowl MVPs?
He too. You know, from the jump, he was a guy, sixth-round draft pick. We all know the story, 199. Had to go the long road. You know, and I was kind of that same kind of thing, seventh-round guy. Had to work my way on the team, had to make myself valuable, play special teams. He always respected my effort. He respected, you know, I think my competitiveness and the fact that I would do anything to, you know, just to get, like, I moved out into LA. I moved out here just to be around him, and he only hit me up like twice the first year I moved out here. You know what I mean? And I dropped everything and I would go, and then, you know, then it became we were going, you know, every day, and you know, that's how it was. And so that, and then also we're both from the Bay. We grew up like 12 miles from each other. So like there was always a comfort of breaking down old hometown shit, you know, like Harry's Hofbräu or like this deli we used to go to or Van, you know, like so that we had to say, like there's just a whole bunch of stuff. He was always kind of like an older brother, and I watched everything he did because I wanted to witness how is this guy so goddamn good? You know, I wanted to see what he was doing. I wanted to see how he prepared. I wanted to see how he rested, how he recovered. And I wanted to try to do it.
Did you hear about Brady in high school or something? Like a man from the Bay.
Brady in high school? Yeah. When I was in eighth grade, he won his first Super Bowl.
Damn.
That's a crazy thing. I remember being, you know, like, and he was a Sarah kid. He went to Sarah, some school that was close to my school at Woodside. And, like, he was, and he was the underdog. And it was, you know, it was always Peyton Manning. He was the guy when that era. That was like first pick overall. You know, he was the guy that was revolutionizing offense at the line of scrimmage and had all his calls and like lighting up scoreboards. And then you always had this little young tough guy, Tom Brady, early in his career that was always fighter, that always, you know, let his team down at the last minute. You know, there was some ugly shit, but then there was always like a heroic effort that just had a clutch gene. And, you know, that's a guy I always liked, so.
The respect level that you have for him, you can tell that they put in a lot of work. What about Belichick? Like, what? Give me an impression of Bill.
It's always a, you know what? I'm gonna start getting. I just saw him recently. I went and, you know, I visited the team, and he was like, "Look, like if I have to turn on the fucking TV and see you doing me every fucking day, like, like what are we?" Doing here, like that's like what he—that's what he would say to me. And I'm over here. I'm sitting on eggshell. I'm still scared of the guy. I don't even play with him. I don't even. He's not. He's still like, you know. He's just got. He's like the emperor or something. You know what I mean? Like, so I walk in. And I'm all, you know. Hey, coach. You know, it's all out of love. He goes, look, just shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? But he's honestly he's evolved. You know, a lot of people want to say he's not fun and he's this. I mean, that's how it was, you know, 20 years ago. You know, the game's evolving, and that's something that he does well, I believe, is he evolves to players. He evolves to this new generation. I can remember in 2015, we'd have these leadership groups in the off season with guys that were there, and we'd talk about, like, the new player coming in. Like, these new guys. Now, you know, it's different. They're on social media, you know, like,
right.
You know, like we'd have like seminars and like he's always thinking about how he can get better.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I got to learn my players in order to, you know, get the best out of them.
Right. You mentioned accountability when I asked about the Patriot way. You said it starts with accountability. When you first entered into that locker room, that organization, when did you first feel that? Was there a moment? Is there a story you can tell us like, oh, shit, this is it?
First day. First day. You walk into the auditorium. You know we have auditoriums. And it's rookie mini camp, and there's a sign on the wall when you enter that says, put the team first, be attentive, do your job, work hard, you know. So you walk in, and there's all these pictures of these moments throughout the year before of big-time plays, of players. And you go in the auditorium, and there's all these pictures of like linemen and like them doing their jobs and all this shit. And our first meeting there, he looks at us and he calls on you and he goes, who's that guy? Who's number 72? Mm. And I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know where New England was before I got drafted there. I was like, where the fuck am I going? You know what I mean? And then he goes, I don't know, coach. He goes, well, you know, when this guy's sitting there, he's won 3 in Super Bowls, he's making $8 million a year and you don't know his fucking name. Like, learn your fucking team.
Right.
And so after that, everyone's scrambling, looking for everyone. He was asking who, like, meal ladies' names and shit. Like, who's the lady that in the meal room? You know, like, just to make you, like, to put the president, like, this is how it's going to be. Know your people. Do your job. And like, that was from day one. Like, crazy. It was crazy.
So
on eggshells all the time. Right? You're on ice. You just your shoulders are back, your head's pinned, your ears. You're just attentive when he's around.
Love it. I mean, there's so much you can learn in sports and business from the Patriot way and how you guys did things. Give me the top 5 wide receivers or top. Give me your top wide receivers in NFL history.
History.
In no particular order. Just shoot real quick. I'm going somewhere here.
Jerry's one.
Okay, just come. Keep Jerry, okay, boom. Who else?
Loved Chris Carter. Dude mm-hmm. caught everything. Randy.
Okay.
Athletically insane. The freak. Michael Irvin.
Okay.
Big time plays. Steve Largent. Gotta give a shout out.
Very good. You mentioned Steve Largent. Because my question was going to be, I thought you was going to name all these receivers and not mention any white receivers. And my question for you was going to be, do we discriminate against a white wide receiver?
Nah. You can be honest.
I think so.
You can be honest.
Cooper Kupp deserved way more.
He's right, but way let's more talk credit. About it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I mean,
because you say Cooper Kupp.
For Sway. Sure, number one wide receiver right now.
I mean,
what do you mean, number one? Talking about
in the NFL?
The stats don't lie, bro.
No, he's not the
triple. What is it called? The triple crown?
Crown
know, I'm gonna be honest. I ain't know what a damn triple crown was until
he
just
dropped
passes. I'm gonna be honest.
You gotta be in the right places at the right time.
Well, he's in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
But you see why we gotta debate it. If he was black and he put up he did the triple crown, he the best right now.
Only thing I'm saying, if we was in a room right now and I had to pick out three receivers?
If you want, yeah.
I don't know if he would be in my three.
Give me your three right now. So he in the room right now. Let me give you the list. Let me give you the list real quick because I want to make sure. And we're going to get back to you because I'm glad that you mentioned Steve Largent.
Steve Largent run by dudes.
Yeah, but when we talk about the greatest, you could have went to Megatron. You could have went to Reggie Wayne and the Marvin Harrisons of the world. You got the Steve Smiths of the world. I'm missing people. Andre Johnsons of the world. The Larry Fitzgeralds, the Anquan we forget.
See, I also went back to the time. I remember that's when I learned football. When I learned football, you still put the guys that you watched growing up. At least I do. Like, man, it's still him. You know, those are the guys we learned the game from.
So the top 10 receivers right now, and this is no particular order. Somebody else's list, and this is Pro Football Focus. Actually,
great routes, big body.
So this is their top 10.
Quick,
Anthony's. Per Anthony, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs
is
Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown. That's the top 10. So out of these 10, and there's
no
some people
Metcalf.
Missing.
No Metcalf.
No DK Metcalf.
Yeah,
no,
but DK had a
no,
slow year.
San Diego.
DK had a slow year.
That was a slow quarterback
on,
year, though.
On,
but we said as far as I hear.
Huh? Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
Like, come on, we missing some receivers.
That, yeah.
Like
Keenan Allen's a beast, man.
So give me your top three. Who you picking right now, Pat?
I'm going to go with D-Hop.
D-Hop? He's your X or your Z? Yeah, go ahead.
Probably the Z.
The Z, okay.
I'm gonna go Tyreek Hill.
Mm.
And damn, then I go Cooper Kupp.
Oh, okay.
Now you gonna go Cooper Kupp.
So that's your starter. That's your starter.
But
three.
I see what you did there. You put the nice chemistry together.
Yeah.
I see what you did.
I'm thinking team wise.
You thinking team wise?
Yeah.
That's a lot of short wide receivers, though.
It don't matter. It's a lot of speed.
I need to throw it up. I need you to jump.
I put Cooper Kupp at Z. I put Cooper
these corners
Kupp at Z.
Now, the corners are getting bigger.
Oh, they are? Okay.
So, the corners are, when you get these 6'1 corners, these 6'2, that's a long corner. What do they struggle with? They struggle with side to side guys.
Yeah.
Like, those guys can glove big guys. That's why, you know what I mean? These DK and these guys, like, these teams, they'll go out and draft big ass corners and then they'll cheat a guy over and say, hey, you guys play over here on this big guy and we're just going to glove everyone up. But if you got a guy that can get open on space and create separation, that's what I look at. You know, there's guys that can do 50-50 balls all day or 90-20 balls. There's certain guys that are like that. But
you
like
say 90-20?
Or 90-10 balls.
80-20. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all I love to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, these guys that are covering them are
Randy.
Good.
Randy.
There's no Megatron or Randy Mosses.
So who are your top three right now?
Top three. I like Adams. I like him because he's quicker than what you think. He can run by you and he creates separation. He's got great catch radius. Like he can play in, you can play him everywhere, and we saw that throughout the Packers last couple years. So his versatility, his size, his quickness. He's not the fastest guy, but he's never not open because they got that back shoulder thing going and with Aaron Rodgers, you know what I mean? So I like him. I love Keenan Allen because his release game, I would always watch his releases. He has that, you know, that crossover release, and then at the top of routes, he does the same type of shit. It's a lot of basketball type shit.
Yeah.
It's like a crossover, you know what I mean, at the line of scrimmage. So he's like, ha-da! And they'll foot fire and they can get guys going and then they can get them out of balance and flip their hips. He does that real well. He's always not coverable as well. And then you got to go like my tweener, I mean, Cooper Kupp, he does a lot of everything. I mean, he's not going to go up and like moss a dude, but he's going to run comebacks. He's going to run goes and get the back shoulder like he did in the fade for in the Super Bowl for the win. He's going to hit all these inside routes. You know, he's versatile, and I'm a little biased towards those guys because that's how I was. I play in all spots. And then you got to go Tyreek, that speed. You know what I mean? He's so fast where he doesn't even have to run great routes and he's going to get wide open because people are going to be terrified of his speed. So once he gets guys going, all he has to do is just throw on the speed a little and it's over. Then he can run a comeback. He can run an in-cut. He can run a post. He can run a post corner. He can just run by him if they're flat-footed. When you have that kind of speed, it's like unfair. And he's strong at the line of scrimmage. It's not like he's one of these skinny guys that are like small, fast guys where they get jammed up. He's like explosive, and he can get low and just go. You know what I mean?
Who's your three, B?
I think in our era, I mean in this era,
yeah.
I think it's impossible
to go. It is.
How do you?
If you had to pick three, though.
Games change.
See, I'm like you. I like what you did because you didn't go and like, here's the best three. You put together a team. You said, right. Here's my Z, here's my X, basically, here's my slot guy.
Right.
So I love how you did that.
What about
Chase? But
if
we're saying big three, huh?
What about Chase?
That's what I'm saying. Like Chase is a dog. I'm still trying to figure out who Chase is, if I'm being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you think about like what makes him great, it's kind of similar to what you're saying, bro. Like, he's not the quickest.
Nah, he's super
he's
quick,
strong.
In fact.
Yeah, but he's yes.
You,
but
you see that one where he caught that screen going this way, and then he outran the pursuit and then cut back on dude. Like, he's got like motor.
He's a guy.
He's explosive.
I think he's a guy we're going to look at in 2 years and say, this is what he is. You know, I think it's like, he's a freak. He's a freak, bro.
You have to. You can't. Like, that's why I didn't necessarily take young receivers.
Yeah.
Because, as we all know, just like we were talking, those fucking coaches are, even in the offseason, are spending hours on how to stop things. Like, the league learns you. That's why you got to do stuff for, like, 2 to 5 years. Because
right.
There's people that can slump out and get, you know, a big ass year. And then what do? Then they got to deal with double for the rest of their, you know, their time until they can't get it.
Speaking of double right there, what player did you wake up for? Like, who was the person that you're like, God damn, I got to play against this motherfucker?
Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith.
Wow. Mm. It's always somebody you don't expect.
Right. But he's a slot guy.
Right.
I would play a lot outside with Jimmy. I was effing at that time. I was an F. And me and Jimmy, I remember him, like, I trained over at Exos in LA, and I remember him coming out, and he was really quick in and out of breaks. I'm like, who's this dude? And then we started playing against each other, and that was when we were playing Baltimore like twice a year. So, like, we know each other. You know, when you play teams a lot, I know your tendency, right. You know my tendency. So, like, this is what we're going to see who can win. So, like, there would be times he would win. He was a long guy, and he was also kind of quick. He was patient at the line of scrimmage. He kind of knew how to f*** me. I won my battles, but he won his, you know. So, like, we always played in important games against each other.
Let me get in your football head. I like how you just went there. Put you on the spot. You talked about tendencies. Darrell Revis, can you break him down? Break Darrell Revis down right now. So you go into a game with Darrell Revis, what pops up?
So Darrell Revis is always on balance, and he's got a short bottom torso, he's got a strong corner bottom torso, but he's got long big corner arms. So he was always strong at the line of scrimmage. That was what Revis was really good. He was patient, and he had long arms, and he could jam you, and then he'd always be on balance. So then he would get his eyes in the backfield, he'd play man coverage, and he could cheat it. When you play a real savvy guy like that, you gotta fuck with him on stems. So like, I'd have to always mess with him in certain drop areas, because the corners are thinking, you know, 12, 15 or 16, 20, those are drop areas where you could break a certain route. So like with him, I'd always change up my route depth. So I would hit him at the line of scrimmage and then go and then hit him again, and then then I could get separation from him. And I learned that because he played with us for 2 years, and we would do one-on-ones, and that made me ultimately a really good, a lot better receiver, going one-on-one against Revis. And then he would play you off a lot so he could try to get get that vision with the quarterback and break. But when with him, you would just have to get on his toes, and then and that's what ultimately gets guys. You know, if you're on guys' toes with speed, then it doesn't matter what you do, you can just go. He made me a good he made me a lot better football player just going against him every single day because he was so smart. If you got lazy with something, he would break, pick. Like, he was pretty good.
So
he was the best corner I ever probably went against.
For sure, 100%. In New England, y'all do a great job of keeping things in-house and eliminating distractions, but don't mean that y'all don't have them.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all have them. Y'all just do a great job of keeping it close, right? Yeah. Can you read this for me? Let me pass it to my guy.
What is this?
Just read it.
Going to jail. Here's the quote from Bennett. Bro, we lost two games. One of them was because Jimmy Garoppolo was being a bitch. He decided not to play right before the game. Jacoby Brissett came out and played with a fucked up thumb and played his heart out. But Jimmy was being a bitch about it all. Bennett said, That's why you can't win with a bitch for a quarterback, first of all. You know, this reminds me. Whenever Marty Bennett spoke, it reminded me of Samuel Jackson monologues. And as I'm reading this, that's what I'm thinking of. You know, so.
Do it in a role play. Like, no pause.
Guys, where you been at today? But, you all right,
man? But we like the role play.
That swagger you hitting it
off. Tonight on a radio show.
Listen, do it in role play.
We like the role play. So do.
I don't got that one.
You don't got Marty B's voice?
I don't got Marty B. Marty B is one.
Okay.
That was the thing with him. He didn't want to come out and do anything because his agent was trying to protect his body or some shit like that. Which, I can't fault him for that, but, like, you should have made the decision on Thursday. Now it's Sunday. Quote from Martellus Bennett.
Said that about you?
No, Jimmy Garoppolo.
G. Oh, about to say. G. Oh, shit.
Who is Jimmy G?
Damn, that's
right, like, you know, San Francisco flirting with all these quarterbacks. Break it down for us.
Man.
Wait, a teammate said that about a quarter about his quarterback?
Yeah, that's Martellus Bennett.
Martellus.
So they played together.
Marty.
Tell us, go through the story. Tell us what happened. Get into
so,
it.
You know, the year that Brady had a vacation for four games.
vacation.
We had Jimmy Garoppolo. He came in. We go 2-0. We had two really, we go on the road. We have a really good game against the Cardinals, which was, you know, that was huge. Go on the road, beat a good Cardinals team that was a projected playoff team at the time. With a rookie or with a first-time starter, he gets a win there. We go and we beat Miami. He looks pretty good. You know, we were executing at a high level. Gets hurt in week three, like the first quarter against the Buffalo Bills or the Jets, and he hurts his non-throwing shoulder, his left shoulder. And Jacoby came in, led us to a win. And the next week, but in the game, Jacoby.
Was that a big deal, like the non-throwing shoulder?
I mean, I don't know. We're all football players here. But Jacoby broke it. He tore his ligaments in his thumb in the win against the week three team. And so we go into week four, and, you know, I guess, you know, Jimmy was practicing and then, you know, decided not to play. And Jacoby played with, you know, no ligaments in his thumb, which you can't do that as a quarterback. You can't. You grip, and if it's your left, and a lot of guys got mad about it. A lot of guys got mad. I'm not gonna lie, I got mad about it. You know, I sacrificed my body all damn long, all day long. I was taking shots for this, numbing up that, ribs, broken ribs, shoulders, you know, grade three, hanging on by limbs just to play, you know? And, you know, I can understand why Marty thinks like that. But you also gotta look, hey, he just got paid. He got paid $30 million. So maybe, you know, I'm the dumb guy who didn't make as much money, sacrificed for that team. I guess I played for the memories, not the money.
Would you do anything differently?
No,
like
I wouldn't.
What you just said, right? Like
I wouldn't. You know, I'm not a greedy guy. You know, I'm cool with. You know, we make great money. I didn't make the best money at my position, but you know, I won three Super Bowls. I've got to have some unbelievable relationships, meet unbelievable people through, you know, winning big games, you know, sitting here on I Am Athlete, you know, because obviously not because of my regular season, it's because, you know, those big ass games.
What's your day-to-day like now, man?
Retired, day-to-day.
What's the day-to-day like?
It's crazy. You're like a mercenary. So, like, you have, like, 3 weeks of work where it'll be, like, all right, we go from 9 to 5. We're doing my podcast, which is called Games with Names. It's a sports history podcast that's coming out in September. So you guys got to be on the lookout for that. But we've been recording that. So I'll have a lot of work for 3 weeks, and I'll have like 2 weeks off, and you know, I'll go do daddy stuff with my little girl, pick her up at school. You just do like shit that we can't do when you're playing ball. You know, this is the first time, second time now with the last off season where, you know, I get to hang out with her in May. You know, she lives out here, I stay out here now. So that, and then, you know, another 3 weeks come up, and you got to do something for production of something else, or, you know, an endorsement or an event. You know, and then go back and see grandma and grandpa with Lily, you know, it's so much more traveling than I've ever done. You know, as athletes, at least me, Brandon was doing TV shows and, you know, while playing. So he was out, you know, jetting around. I was stationary in my area. I brought my routine to me. Everyone came to me, my body guy, my massage, yo, everything was coming to me. Now, like, I have to go out and you have to do shit, which is, you know, it's new. I'm still trying to get acclimated.
Yeah.
And you're still trying to work out too. You know, you work out. It's not like you go now. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Do you have transitions are some of the most important moments in life, and we go through so many different transitions. Athletes, we struggle a lot in transition. Our identity is wrapped up in the sport. Sports taken away from us. You know, a lot of us can't figure it out.
I don't necessarily think it's just athletes, though.
Yeah, but that's why I said transitions.
Because everyone gets scared of the unknown.
There you go.
And that's the thing with, like, an athlete. When it's done, like, yeah, we have a lot of shit going on, but, like, this isn't our thing. This isn't what we got here with. You know, we're athletes. We grew up fucking playing sports all year long.
Competing.
You know, competing. Now we're doing, like, you do media, you do podcast. It's, like, different work. You know what I mean? So, like, you're trans... It's still unknown. You know, we always knew when we were playing. You always knew you were the baddest dude on there.
So
you have confidence in that.
So how you navigate through the transition?
Yeah, did you struggle with it? You only been retired 2 years. Like, when you first, like,
is it 2 years? Going on two.
Going on 2 years. But
still, yeah.
What I'm saying, because I use myself as an example.
I think everybody struggled with it.
Yeah. The first time I got suspended for a year, all right, I was definitely not prepared. You know what I mean? But I come back, I play 12 more years or whatever it was. But when I first retired, I'm like, yo, got all this time.
Man, it's crazy.
Yes.
Just waking up.
And I found the way to cope with it through different stuff. But them first 4 or 5 months, I was itching for that feeling. You know what I mean? And then I finally got to a place where I can kind of replace that feeling, but it's hard. Like, you cannot sit here and say that you've been doing this shit your whole life, going in the locker room, usually talking to the boys, you know what I mean? 90% of your day filled up. Then all of a sudden, you got to answer the phone. You got to pay the bills. You're like, what the fuck? All
right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's 100%.
So
But I think I think low-key, like, the coolest, like, what helped me transition the most was honestly going on Inside the NFL, which streams on Paramount Plus, of course, with the fellas. No, really, because it was still, like, that gave me my locker room vibe. And it was once a week, all right, it's cool, I get to go hang out and do what I want, and then we go work for once a week, and, like, you get to still talk ball, you get to still talk shit with each other. You know, Mr. Sims making fun of him, lighting him up all day, that's, you know, it's pretty funny.
Right. That was the same for me, too.
My transition. Yeah, you know?
Media. So Inside the NFL, and then I Am Athlete, House of Athlete. Like, I was already in it. That's what helped me. You say you think every guy struggle?
Yeah, I think
you struggle?
Yeah, of course.
How was that for you?
For me, just...
You look like you might be still struggling, because you still play. I like the Victor. I love the Victor. I can't wait to see how the next couple years
go. No, not legit.
Are you still chasing?
No, not chasing. Just, you know, waking up and, like, well, first couple months, I was just waking up with nothing to do. Just... taking the kids to school. I love that part because I got a chance to be able to like go to Big Bear during the, you know, Christmas time when I couldn't do stuff like that. That's the stuff I love, like taking them places I couldn't take them. But after that was gone, it's just like, what else can I do? You know, because I had my clothing designs. I did that. You know, I know how to do that. But just trying to find, like, what else I'm gonna do in life now?
Routine.
Like, yeah, routine.
That's what it ultimately. What is it for you?
What is it for me?
Like, yeah, like what's what? Cause like you come on the show every time we come to LA, you always bless us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this. You're our co-host in LA, but we never really interview you for real. You got a whole story. But like, okay, we know Nick the basketball player. We know Swag, that's Swaggy P. We know Nick from a social media standpoint, and then the fashion, all of that. But like, what is next for you?
Right now, just being a dad. Really, I think the best feeling just coming through them doors now every day. My kids just expect me to be there, and they just run and jump on me and say, "Dad, can we go do this?" And I got time now. "Dad, can you take me here? Dad, can you order this for me? Dad, can I get this?" Like, I hear all that all day now. So I got three great kids, and I think that takes up my time right now.
So I got a question for all of us. As men, right? As men, is that enough? Right, like what you just said, I'll be honest, for me, that's not enough for me. I want to go down as a phenomenal father, 100%. I want to do everything. I want to be there every damn day. But also, like, I'm also still chasing something outside the house.
Yeah.
You understand? So, like, my question, you know, that might be, for some people, that might be enough for you. Like, I just want to be a homemaker. You know what I'm saying? Is that enough for us as men?
I had the example, my pops, I grew up watching my dad get up and go work from 5 to 5 every day. Like, we went on vacation once a year in between baseball and football season. And we went to camping, and it was routine. And his job, my mom, I was blessed where my mom could sit at home and she raised us, she was a homemaker. You know, so I have that in my head that, you know, as a man, I need to provide for my family. I need to go out and I need to, you know, there's not always going to be times, you know, I probably do more with my daughter than, you know, my folks got to do with me because of, you know, the situation we were in and that he had to work, you know what I mean? My whole life. Yeah. So I already feel blessed and fortunate enough, but like you said, as a man, I feel that I am the protector. I am the one that has to go out and help, you know, give my daughter all the opportunity that my father gave me.
But as athletes, and this is why I can kind of understand what you're saying right now, but I'm also...
It's hard. Yeah,
and everybody's situation is different.
You got to figure it out.
But as an athlete, though, when you got millions of dollars, you don't have to, most of us, if we do it right, we don't have to work ever again.
Right.
And that's still my question. Is that still enough? Is that good at 30? How old are you?
37. Just turned 37.
You just turned 37, right? Like, at 37, you're saying you're retired. You know what I mean?
That's tough.
Basically, it sounds like you retired.
That's crazy, right? Well, for me, I still find myself still wanting to, like, be on TV, go to premieres and stuff. But when it comes, you know.
Peck, how you feel about it?
I like to stay active, you know. Do I have to do some every day? No, I don't. But my drive and passion for certain things that I want to do and my bucket of checklists, that's what keep me driving every day. My kids, I'm probably the best dad in the world, you know what I mean? I do my part there, so. But my goal is to make sure that I can have them set up as far as being, you know, entrepreneur ready for when we got to call them, and we got our own channel on I'm Athlete where they already been to school for broadcasting and stuff like that. Do you get what I'm saying? So, my vision is parallel with yours because I think we see something that's reachable when you sit out and you look at different stuff and different platforms. And right now, like, we have a crazy wave where the athletes have a voice right now. Why not fucking maximize and try to help somebody else, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm on visually. So I'm up here trying to shoot for the stars, aiming at the
What's the stars?
You get what I'm saying?
But what is the stars?
It's
what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, what you chasing right now when you say we got this opportunity? What is it for you? You know what I'm saying?
For me, it's a voice for us, which is the athletes, the people, where we can control the narrative about how it should look, how it should be said. We ain't had that. You know what I mean? And it's a lot of guys that maybe just need somebody to talk to, you know what I mean? Or want to put a story out, or...
Another thing I struggle with is weight. Like, how do you lose weight when you get older? Like, that do not come off. Yeah, hell yeah. I look in the mirror sometimes, I'm like, damn, I don't look like I used to.
Push away diet.
No.
You push the food away.
Then you
yeah.
go. Size
yeah, I do.
You know, it's simple, bro. Every time he on the show, what the hell is he eating?
Candy,
I don't. And he just like said that. It's not how many push-ups you do, it's how many times you push away from the damn table.
Or just wake up and go walk. You gotta burn calories. Yeah.
But I'm so glad we're so used to burning though.
Yeah. Cause I feel harder though as I got older. Like
hell yeah.
I used to shed like this, but now I do the similar stuff I used to do, but I feel like it just stuck in certain areas.
I'm so glad you asked that question. I'll let you dive into this, Jules, because you got a crazy routine. Pac, you got a crazy routine. Hell, every time we travel somewhere, you one of the first people up and going on your little runs and stuff. Crazy. You got to stay active, but how many dudes, and that's being vulnerable, bro, that's being real. How many dudes do we see retire and they let themselves go? So, like, what do you answer that question for them? What
is it letting themselves go, or is it living? Right. You know what I mean? We all been on the diets. We all been professional athletes for so damn long. Like, there's sometimes where you want, like, you push the cinnamon rolls away when you were playing. I want it. Who we playing this week? Who we got? Nobody. Give
but
me a cinnamon
really
roll. Give me two.
Stand up right now.
Like, you didn't
stand
have
up.
To push a cinnamon
right
roll.
Now. Stand up right now.
He's put together.
Stand up right now, Jules. Stand up right now.
I am standing. I'm all short. Right.
Lift up your shirt.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. Talking about we doing, we living. Pac, stand up right now. Pac, stand up right now. Lift up your shirt, Pac. What we talking about? Which y'all ain't pushing. Y'all ain't doing that. I ain't doing it right
now. Come on, man. I'm not doing that.
I'm 15 pounds overweight. I'm with you, though.
Man.
Do this with me. I'm about to launch a six-week challenge for House of Athlete. You gave me a shameless plug. You want,
I got to be a part of this since I gave you the plug.
Listen, here's the solution. Since he want to bullshit you and tell you, oh, we living, but he got a six-pack and he got a 12-pack, get y'all out of beat it. I'm about to launch a at-home solution on House of Athlete Plus.
I'm with it.
And the way we're going to launch is a six-week challenge. And you're going to lose 20 pounds in 6 weeks. You can have those abs.
I could.
In 6 weeks. But here's the thing.
I'm
going to give you the nutritional plan, and you got to do the workouts.
I will.
You'll do it.
I'll do it.
You're going to do it.
I will do it.
All right, bet. Can you look in the camera and say, join my six-week challenge, House of Athlete Plus?
Join my six-week challenge, House of Athlete Plus. The Swaggy P, baby. I'm about to get the physique.
Can we do the befores now? Can you stand up like they did in show?
No.
Hey.
I'll do it with you.
I'll
do it with you because I'm 15.
You just got to walk.
Let's be vulnerable.
Pause.
Do I got to say pause
you
right
need,
now?
You don't need
pause. Let's be vulnerable. Let's show. We do the midsection.
For me, my body.
Because we're going to do this. We're going to end the year with 50,000 subscribers right now. All right, that's not
ain't
bad
that
though, Swaggy.
Ain't that bad.
Look at me.
That's tight end right there, man.
That's too much. No, that's too much.
That's too
look
much.
At them boys. Them boys ripped. We gonna get like them. Let's do it. I'm 15 over. What you trying to drop?
I'm trying to drop 20.
Fuck. Right, let's do
15
it.
To 20. You said let's I could drop 20. I'm gonna see.
Hey,
I'm
when
with
I it. We gonna do HOA Plus, thank you. We're gonna launch the right way. This is how we're gonna launch HOA Plus. Pre-order, pre-subscribe. When I'm announcing you and I'm telling your story at the Hall of Fame, what do you want me to say? What's the legacy? How you want me to be there? We in Canton, Ohio. Brandon Marshall is your presenter. What you want me to say? How you want me to introduce you? Your legacy, what am I talking about?
Guy's a dog. Guy fights, competes, does what the team wants. He got a little diva in him, but always kept it under terms.
Thank you. You are a Hall of Famer. That's my argument. Giving you your flowers. Every time we sit down with Julian Edelman, we'll talk about Tom Brady, we'll talk about Bill. We're talking about Julian Edelman. Listen, subscribe, and watch this episode.
Right now, I'm athlete.
And we did talk about Brady and Belichick.
Yeah, we did.
Let's go.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.